Oh yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Ron here in the house. Welcome everybody with an attitude of gratitude. Grateful people live longer, ladies and gentlemen. So this is Dr. Ron of Dr. Ron Unfiltered, Uncensored, where we advise you and charge you with taking care of your health. Get the unfiltered truth here on Dr. Ron's Unfiltered, Uncensored. A no-nonsense show anymore, right? We're going to be your guide so you can be proactive in your health care. And therefore, maybe if you learn, if you continue to be proactive, you will be healthier. You'll be able to ask questions and question everything. So take control of your health, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. I thought I knew exactly what I wanted to tell you today, but I went down so many rabbit trails. I'm going to just see where they lead. I just saw on television that they're going to have an expose on vitamins, and it's too many of them can do this and do that. I wish they would do that about all the drugs they advertise on television, telling you about all the side effects slowly, not in rapid succession. But I do want to recommend you to Dr. Andrew Saul, who just passed away, and his series on orthomolecular medicine. And it states that the 39th annual report from the American Association of Poison Control Centers shows, I guess I should have a drum roll, zero deaths from vitamins. Zero deaths from vitamins. No fatalities from mineral supplements. Two fatalities from iron and iron salts were clearly stated as not being due to supplemental iron. No deaths from vitamins. No deaths from minerals. You will not hear this on mainstream media. You won't see it in mainstream media. After all, at least two-thirds of the United States takes daily nutritional supplements. But you won't hear that there are no deaths. So keep that in mind when you're listening to what the mainstream media, which is bought off by Big Pharma, has to tell you. Know that the United States spends a fifth of its GDP annually on medicine, over $5 billion. Over $5 billion. And yes, we have a crisis. We have an absolute health crisis here in the United States from many, many avenues, from the toxins we ingest, the prescription drugs we take, cleaning products which are filled with toxins, polluted air, our polluted, chemicalized food supply. They are all killing us. The number of people affected by chronic diseases continues to climb. Continues to climb. And what a sad commentary that for the first time in the industrial area, parents are soon expected to outlive their children. Is there any wonder people are investigating natural solutions to their health problems? Because we are in a crisis. I'd like to start out today by reading something written by a Heather McDonald. And it was in a handout called Imprimis, I-M-P-R-I-M-I-S, by Hillsdale College. Heather McDonald is with the Manhattan Institute. I'm going to read part of it. But it starts out with the most consequential falsehood in American public policy today is the idea that any racial disparity in any institution is by definition the result of racial discrimination. If a cancer research lab, for example, does not have 13% black oncologists, the black share of the national population, it is by definition a racist lab that discriminates against competitively qualified black oncologists. If an airline company doesn't have 13% black pilots, it is by definition a racist airline company that discriminates against competitively qualified black pilots. If a prison population contains more than 13% black prisoners, our law enforcement system is racist. And she goes on from there. The American Medical Association today insists that medicine is characterized by white supremacy. That's from the AMA, a multi-billion dollar association. Nature magazine declares that science manifests one of, quote, humankind's worst excesses, racism, unquote. The Smithsonian Institution announces that emphasis on the scientific method and an interest in cause and effect relationships are part of totalitarian whiteness. As a result of this falsehood, we are eviscerating meritocratic and behavioral standards in accordance with what is known as, quote, disparate impact analysis, unquote. Now, here's the part I want you to listen to and why you must definitely pay attention and learn to be your own CEO and take care of your body. She goes on, consider medicine. Step one of the medical licensing exam taken during or after the second year of medical school tests medical students' knowledge of anatomy, physiology, and pathology. On average, black students scored lower on the grading curve, making it harder for them to land their preferred residencies. Step one, in other words, has a disparate impact on black medical students. The solution implemented last year was to eliminate step one grading disparity by instituting a pass-fail system. Hospitals choosing residents can no longer distinguish between high and low achieving students. And that is precisely the point. Continuing, the average medical college achievement test. It's called the MCATs. The average medical college achievement test for black applicants is a standard deviation below the average score of white applicants. Some medical schools have waived the submission of MCAT scores altogether for black applicants. The tests were already redesigned to try to eliminate the disparity. A quarter of the questions now focus on social issues and psychology. The medical school curriculum is being revised to offer more classes in white privilege and focus less on clinical practice. The American Association of Medical Colleges will soon require that medical faculty demonstrate knowledge of, quote, intersectionality, unquote, a theory about the cumulative burdens of discrimination. Heads of medical schools and chairmen of departments like pediatric surgery are being selected on the basis of identity, not knowledge. The federal government is shifting medical research funding from pure science to studies on racial disparities and social justice. Why? Not because of any assessment of scientific need, but simply because black researchers do more racism research and less pure science. The National Institute of Health, NIH, has broadened the criteria for receiving neurology grants to include things like childhood welfare receipt, because considering scientific accomplishment alone results and a disparate impact. What is at stake in these changes? Future medical progress and ultimately lives. And she goes on to talk about other professions also that are being affected by racism. It's not fair to the black population, I say. So I have many friends that are black that are excellent physicians. So now, are we going to say, well, did you get in because of your race or because you are really good? It's destroying our medical system. This is only one thing destroying it. Big Pharma is destroying it. Taking over the boards of directors of medical schools so that our young physicians in training learn a pill for an ill. We never really had a long discussion in medical school about nutrition and alternative treatments. It's getting even less. I just want to bring this to your attention and why you have to pay attention to what is said to you and the reason behind it. So this morning, and that's why I say I have this rabbit trail leading me all over the place. There was the American Academy of Family Practice had a news story. Atrial fibrillation is becoming more common in middle-aged people, a study finds. And this study was done in age group under 65 years of age. Now, when I looked at the dates, it changed what I initially thought. They examined the records of patients up to 2019, 2010 to 2019. So after 2019, almost everybody that received the jab has some form of, at least two jabs, has some form of myocarditis. And I thought that that was the basis for this article, but I find out that it's not. They concluded that the basis of atrial fibrillation under 65 years of age has a significant comorbidity burden and considerable long-term mortality, which means you're at risk. Your health is at risk for other things if you have atrial fibrillation at under 65. And they didn't go into what possibly could cause that. But my listeners know, and I've been talking about non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. And I told you this a couple of years ago also, that taking non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, that's the ibuprofen type drugs, is associated with higher atrial fibrillation risk. In fact, they stated that patients using NSAIDs for 2 to 4 weeks, 2 to 4 weeks had a 76% higher risk of developing atrial fibrillation compared with those who hadn't taken these pain medications. So, no mention in the article about what drugs these people were taking. None that I found. And I have it right in front of me. I'll take one quick look again. No, nothing. So, again, if you don't know that ibuprofen taken for just 2 to 4 weeks can have an influence on atrial fibrillation, and you keep taking it and you develop atrial fibrillation, you have no idea what caused it. And what we try and do always is get to the root cause of the problem. We know more and more people are developing chronic diseases. In fact, 60% of our elderly population have at least 2 to 4 chronic diseases. But, you know, do we look at electromagnetic frequencies? No. But, you know, EMF-related symptoms can be fatigue, memory loss, sleep disturbances, visual disruptions, skin problems, headaches, brain fog, heart palpitations, depression, and dizziness. But unless we know that, right? We can't do anything about it. Gosh, I'm sorry to do this to you, but it blows my mind how we've gotten so far off track. So far off track, ladies and gentlemen. So let's just talk a little bit about what I started to talk about today. We're at a critical crossroads. We've talked about physicians being the third leading cause of death. Now we know the fourth leading cause of death is abortions. We'll talk about EMF and 5G at another point in time. But medical errors is taking a toll. Medical errors are a significant issue globally. The World Health Organization estimates they cause 2.6 million deaths a year worldwide. And as I say, 10% of all deaths in the United States can be attributable to some kind of medical error. Lots of documentation for this, ladies and gentlemen. What causes it? Well, inexperience, fatigue, diagnostic challenges. You know, young interns and residents are using AI for differential diagnosis, using Google, the ability to critically think about issues is decreased. There's no education on frequencies, alternative medicine, homeopathic remedies, scalar energy, any of the things we talked about on this program. So if you don't know about it, you can't put it into the mix. And Google's not going to tell you about it. Medical errors. Talked about that. So that's a third leading cause of death. We should know a little bit about it. Wouldn't you think? So what do we have after that? Well, we have a situation where we're going to not be able to have children. Yeah, I've talked about Dr. Swan and her work. We have skyrocketing rates of male infertility. Sperm counts around the world are declining by more than 50%. In laboratory terms, that's 47 million sperm per milliliter. Going down. The most significant declines were in samples from men in North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand, where sperm counts were always, well, not always, but consistently below 40 million per milliliter. And why is this happening? Well, again, I hate to tell you this, but we've talked about it on this program. Last year, we had a two-part series on crisis in healthcare and crisis in humanity about the endocrine-disrupting chemicals, toxins in our environment that have caused a dramatic decline in reproductive health among men. And the excessive microwave radiation from all the wireless technologies. And of course, the inactivity that our society is plagued with. And plastics are making us infertile. And it could lead to human extinction. And Dr. Shanna Swan, S-W-A-N. She's a professor of environmental medicine at Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York. She had a book out that I talked about a couple years ago, Countdown, How Our Modern World is Threatening Sperm Counts. Boy, that should really get your attention, because it can imperil the future of the human race. And she goes in to talk about chemicals commonly found in plastic products are leading to a decline in this fertility. And in her studies, I talked about 40 million. In her studies, they were talking about less than 15 million sperm per milliliter. That's a low sperm count, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going in that direction. So the thesis of that book is that our reproductive health in both men and women has been declining and linked to everyday exposure to chemicals in the environment. Now, let's just take a break here and say the largest organ of our body is, you're right, the skin. And the stuff we put on our skin is incredible, isn't it? We slather everything on it, and we don't pay attention to all the chemicals in those lotions. We spray our bodies with suntan protection, and it causes cancer. You know, I read an article, and if I find it, I'll talk about it before the show ends. When you spray on a sunscreen, the chemicals can stay in your system for up to 7 days, no matter how much you bathe. 7 days. And a lot of these are petrochemicals that cause cancer. So my question is cancer of the skin an inside job? Does it start from the inside out rather than from the outside in? Well, I know that Dr. Rowan thinks that way. I know that that Mr. Peskin, Brian Peskin, thinks that way. And they may be onto something. So endocrine disruptor chemicals, okay, phthalates, they impact our body's way of making natural hormones. And they can do it in utero before the baby's even born. Scary, isn't it? And you could read more about Dr. Swan's work. I don't have to tell you, but that's basically what it is. The chemicals, the phthalates, the BPAs, remember them, the bisphenols, all the petroleum, all the products used in laundry detergents, shampoos, body washes. They're all over and unregulated, and they can affect our hormones, our steroid hormones, our sex hormones. And it can affect babies in the womb and affect how they develop. So they're everywhere, ladies and gentlemen, but we have to be vigilant about it. The CDC even admits that 95% of the population has one or more phthalates in their bodies. So I guess you would say they're pervasive, wouldn't you? Well, there's ways you can get tested, but the best thing is to avoid it. And they do have half-lives. They're in and out, within hours. But why do you want them in your body to do any damage in the first place? And we're continually exposed to them. They're in your cosmetics, ladies, and all your personal care products, because they increase absorption. Where? Into the largest organ of your body, the skin. They're in nail polishes, lipsticks, They're in cleaning products, floor coverings, polyvinyl, wall coverings, shower curtains. How can we escape all of them? And they're not labeled, so you're going to have a hard time shopping. Everywhere, every time, chemical. So phthalates, P-H-T-H-A-L-A-T-E-S. They make plastic soft. Bisphenols, the BPAs, they make plastic hard. And that includes A and S. They make plastics hard. They're in the lining of tin cans. You know, if you take the aluminum off of a can of soda, you know, you'll find that there's a plastic lining in there that's holding things in there. Cash register receipts have endocrine disruptive chemicals in them. Pizza boxes. They all are mainly estrogenic. They increase the body's estrogen production, which affects reproduction. But we can beat it. But we have to have the knowledge of that, what to look for. So, you know, and you know, the less we have, the less we have economically, the harder it's going to be honest with you. Because you can't afford the organic foods and get rid of the processed foods. So it's a really, I'm not making light of this. I mean, it affects our mortality and it's hard to get around. But I'm going to have a guest that will talk about that at a later date. And we're dumping. Our world is on track to dump 220 million tons of plastic waste this year. 220 million tons. And that came from an April 11th, a recent report. Countries worldwide are on that pace. Wow, 500 million plastic straws a day, all having effects on our bodies because of the chemicals that are used to make the plastic either hard or soft. It's just... Boy, no wonder we have to detox every day. By the way, thank you for liking the Zeolite Show. We'll have another one of those in a couple of weeks. But be that as it may, we're on a really slippery slope. You know, in these plastics, oh my gosh, they're finding them in organs now as they're operating on. They're finding them in arteries. And they're saying that there's a 4.5 times higher rate of a heart attack because of these microplastics. And geez, if you're going to die from it and become infertile, that's the end of the human race, huh? Micro and nanoplastics are linked to Parkinson's disease and dementia. I could go on and on. We want to try and decrease the amount of plastics that we use every day. Another article, the potential impact of microplastics on major organs, including the brain. Yes, they can. The nanoplastics can pass the blood-brain barrier. And gosh, what's the cleanup going to be like? Can we handle it? You know, when the government forced everybody to wear those masks, you know how many microplastics were inhaled from those masks? Because it had to be a lot, because they have found microplastics in the lung tissue of of living humans for the first time ever since everybody start using the masks. Farmed fish eat microplastics. You eat the fish, you eat the microplastics. Pretty scary, isn't it? $50 billion plastic bottles a year end up in landfill. $50 billion. Now, to top this all off, and why you, another reason why you have to take care of yourself and be a wellness warrior is that the fact that United States physicians receive more than $12 billion, that's with a B, in payments from the pharmaceutical companies and medical device industry over a 10-year period. You can find that in Open Payments, which is a federal transparency program. Orthopedic physicians receive the greatest sum, $1.4 billion, followed by neurologists and psychiatrists with just a little bit less at $1.3 billion. Cardiologists also got $1.3 billion. Hematologists, oncologists, $825.8 million. Almost a billion, huh? 55% of pediatricians, 63% of infectious disease physicians receive payments from this industry, while physicians practicing preventive medicine received the least sum of payments. From 2013 to 2022, pharma paid $12 billion to United States physicians. When your doctor recommends something, you have to ask them, did you get paid to recommend that to me? You know, remember I told you a few weeks ago, when you ask for a second opinion, 80% of the time it's different. Maybe one of them was not getting paid. And we're not even getting into financial conflicts of interest, right? But it has to be. You always follow the money. It's been since the Bible. Some procedures make the physician and the hospital a lot of money. So what, could that be why they're recommending it? Is that why there's so many medical devices now being pushed on the the patient base? I know cardiology uses a lot, orthopedics uses a lot. And, you know, it's a profit-driven industry. And you have to think, do payments that these physicians receive, could there be a conflict of interest? I don't know. It's worth asking your doctor. We need to have more transparency, right? We have to see who the cheerleaders are for these different industries. Are they cheerleading because it really is a good product, or are they getting paid? Well, we know it's a ton of money. And money can buy things. So, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit of rabbit trails today. But the bottom line is, I want you to think. I can't teach you, but I can try and guide you to think about your own health and that of your family. So this is Dr. Ron. We're here weekly, and we hope to bring you information that makes you think. And we'll continue to do that as best as we can. So until next week, we're going to go, and I hope we didn't, but, you know, that's okay. You can handle it. Although, you know, Jack Nicholson said,
"You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth."
Some people can't handle the truth. They can't handle the fact that the hospital's made a fortune on COVID. They can't handle that. They don't want to hear about it. Okay, see you next week. Have a great week.
Hey, everybody. Dr. Ron's finished for today. I hope you got some good wisdom for what the man had to say. If it's all about good health, he's the man you got to see. He has a lot more answers for you. So tune in next week when the doctor is in the house. Or when the doctor is in the house. Let the doctor know what's bothering you when the doctor is in the house. The doctor is in the house. Doctor is in the house. Let the doctor know what's bothering you. I'm sure he can tell you just what to do. The doctor is in the house. The doctor is in the house. Let the doctor know what's bothering you when the doctor is in the house. So if you have a pain, call the doctor. If you have a strain, call the doctor. Let the doctor know what's bothering you when the doctor is in the house.